Hello everybody, welcome back to the Kiwi Gardening Podcast with Te Awa Plantman. It's so good to be back and recording another episode for you guys. I haven't done any this year, so I apologize for that. Things have just been a bit crazy and a lot of things have been happening in my garden, and I just haven't really had enough time in the evening to be able to commit to doing a podcast. But here we are finally, and I'm really happy to finally be back here doing this for you guys. So a few weeks ago now, I put out a question to you guys asking for some ideas on some topics for the podcast, and you guys got back to me and gave me some great suggestions. And one that I got a few times was, could I do a podcast episode on gardening for renters? So if you're renting a property, what can and can't I do? And what are some creative ways in which I can do gardening? To be honest with you, I do not have much first-hand experience with renting and gardening as a renter. So what I'm really excited to tell you guys is that I actually have a guest on the podcast today. So recently I put out a story and I asked you guys what you wanted to know about gardening as renters. And I got an awesome response from one of my friends on Instagram. So Libby messaged and she gave me some ideas on what she does as a renter in her properties. And then she also said she'd be happy to share her firsthand experience on the podcast. So today I have her on as a guest and she has got so much to share. She'll tell you about her journey and I'm very, very excited to have her on the podcast. Now, because I'm not tech savvy, I just asked her to record her story and then send it to me, and then I would stitch it together inside the podcast. So it's not an interactive conversation, it's just her sharing her story, and it's a great one, so please listen to it. And even if you're not a renter, if you own your own home, she has some great ideas on how to utilize space. She also suggests some awesome products and some services that you guys can use and get amongst. So yeah, please listen to this episode and I'd love to hear your feedback on what you think about this if I keep doing a guest on the show. I personally think it's amazing and you're not just getting information from one person, but you're getting it from a group of people who are doing what the episode is about, which is awesome. So yeah, please listen even if you're not a renter and maybe you can get some information for yourself or to tell a friend who is renting. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Libby. So now Libby is going to take it away.
Kia ora everyone, this is Libby and thanks so much DIY Plantman for having me on your podcast today. I'm so excited to share my story about being a gardener in a rental property. So a little bit about me, I grew up in Whangarei and moved to Auckland in 2015, I think it was, to study at Unitec. So I brought with me as many succulents as I had that I could, that I had collected while I was living with my parents, drove as many of them as I could up to Auckland. So I was living with other flatmates, as you do when you're studying, and I didn't really have a lot of place to put them, and I always found watering them a bit of an issue because I had like a really small room and, you know, I didn't really want to spill water everywhere and didn't really have an outdoor area for me to put them because it was kind of like a shared space and someone else was mowing the lawns and I didn't really want to have to move them around and just be a hassle. So I never really started gardening until I moved in with my boyfriend into a new flat in Mount Albert. So on that house, we lived there for 2 years, and that place was kind of difficult too because it was like a house that was attached to their garage. And it was like at the back of their property next to their garden. So all I had was like a little like concrete strip, like the pavement going around my house. And like a little bit around the side where they kept like some bits of wood. And yeah, I didn't really have much to go off there. But I did start getting into gardening because I was buying like one head of lettuce a week and it would just wilt. Like I would never go through enough lettuce every week to get through it all. And I was just so sad that I was throwing out this lettuce every week. So what I did is I started like watching all these videos on YouTube and looking up how to do gardening in pots. And I found a really good video. I can't quite remember their name, but I still watch them. They taught me how to grow lettuce in pots. So what I did is I went out to like King's Plant Barn. I got some lettuce seeds, didn't really know which variety, but I got some lettuce seeds and I also bought like a little wooden planter box. It was like really tiny. All you could really grow in there was lettuce seeds. And oh, I got some potting mix as well and just kind of like gave it a go. Yeah, so what I did is I sprinkled the seeds in there quite thickly because that's what the guy said to do. And they took, I mean, they germinated really quickly, but they took forever to grow. Like, I was not going to get lettuce anytime soon. But anyway, the lettuce did grow eventually. I really enjoyed watching the seeds pop up and then grow and expand. Not do much, but yeah, it was a really fun experiment to do that. And then that kind of like started my passion for gardening after that. Now, I didn't really have room to expand, but along my little concrete strip, I did start buying like some little plants here and there, maybe some more succulents from King's Plant Barn, which I actually worked at for a couple of years at the St. Luke's King's Plant Barn inside the cafe. So that was fun. So I would get like a 15% discount and I'd always see all of the King's Plant Barn members there. And yeah, that was a really good time. So I did get some inspiration during the day, which was, yeah, really nice. Then I was still sad about my lettuce because obviously I wasn't eating the lettuce that I was growing because it was just taking too long and didn't have enough space to like grow up properly. So then I wanted to get into composting. And so with composting, there was no way that I was going to be able to buy a whole compost bin on that property. So I looked into worm farming. And that was really interesting because I looked up some videos again and instead of getting like two really big like systemic containers, I ended up buying two like flower pots, plastic ones, like 30 centimeter, I don't know, 30 liter plastic pots. And my husband had a drill. So my boyfriend did become my husband later. So husband had a drill and we drilled some holes in one of the pots and then put it inside the other one. And then we ordered the tiger worms online. And I didn't know that you could go in store to buy them. I think I found that out like a year or two after that. But I ended up getting these tiger worms in the mail and the courier like took forever to come and I ended up calling the people and being like, "Where are my worms?" It was such a big ordeal. And they ended up sending me like another packet of worms because they thought that maybe it got lost and all this, but they did eventually all arrive. So I ordered, I think, two, and they sent me another one. So I had three bags of tiger worms. Yeah, and I could not fit all of them in this little plastic planter box. So yeah, I think I ended up having to like disperse the worms somewhere in my landlord's garden or something like that. I can't quite remember. But anyway, when I did get the tiger worms all settled in the new home, I was just using like paper bags, and just shredding those up and using that as bedding and, you know, putting in my food scraps. And yeah, they actually worked really well. So I would really highly recommend anyone who is like in a really small place like an apartment and has space for like just one pot. I really recommend you do doing worm farming there, because I actually still have those worms today, all these years on. And yeah, now I've like multiplied my worm farms to fit my space, and yeah, it's just been really, really amazing. So if you're kind of like conscious about composting as well, definitely look into worm farming if you have the space. And there's no smell either, so the landlord's always happy with that, and the other tenants too. Okay, and then since then, I have moved house a few times around like Mount Albert and Newlyn, and all of those had kind of like different gardening situations too. A lot of them had like a little bit of a grassy area now, so I was able to expand, and I started like making my own plant boxes. My husband has all the tools for it, and we just went out and bought wood and everything. So yeah, that was really fun to start building those, because I could start making them to the dimensions that I needed them to be, so I can make them as big as like was allowed. And the main thing that I would do is I would build them on kind of like stilts, and I would have them with like a bottom to it, like so that they weren't resting on the ground. And that's because I knew, one, that I would need to move them one day, so it's easy to lift everything and just like lift and shift them onto the moving truck and take them with me wherever I need to go, because yeah, you never know what's going to happen in rental properties. Always seem to move quite regularly. And yeah, and it also meant that if you were to have someone mowing the lawn, they could mow underneath the planter boxes as well, so there would be no sort of damage to the lawn. So I was really conscious of that. Yeah, and sometimes they would have like little sections around the property. You know how like some landlords, they start putting in like trees and things and little bare patches here and there to make it look nice, but they don't maintain it. So I've just found those little opportunities to grow like flowers, and yeah, mainly flowers actually. That's the easiest thing to grow in like little spaces like that, that aren't too dependent on the weather. So that's pretty much what I was doing. And then, you know, adding more vegetables to the raised garden beds as well. Oh, and another thing that I do is I started going to this place called the Tipping Point in the Waitakere refuse station. So they have this place there where they kind of just like save things from ending up in the landfill and becoming trash. So I have found some really interesting like planter boxes there. So like some big wooden crates, and some like, they're really heavy, but some concrete planter boxes too. So if you are trying to garden on the cheap like I am, then definitely go and check out places like that where you can find recycled materials. The only problem with those ones, like the bigger you get with your planter boxes, which was I was getting at, the more soil that you have to put into it, and the heavier and more awkward it's going to be later when you eventually have to move house. So by my third house that I had moved into, we only stayed there for a year, and I decided to just go full out on gardening that year. I think that was in 2019, so I pretty much was like, I had the fundamentals of all the gardening skills that I have now. And yeah, I had to move all of that with me after 1 year, because they decided they wanted to sell the house. Yeah, so that was a big challenge. I had to get the moving guys to fill up the moving truck with my planter boxes, and they were really, really heavy. So that's one thing to keep in mind about, is that the bigger you go, the harder it will be to move everything, and you need to kind of think about what you can leave there and what you can sacrifice. It's really sad. It's really hard being a renter, because yeah, you're likely that you have to move often and then move your plants with you. But coming to 2020 now, after we had to move out of that place, we found a really, really nice place in Ellerslie. And basically I said, hey, I'm a gardener, I'm really passionate about gardening, please let me do gardening here and I'll be really happy. And the landlord was really enthusiastic about that, and he said that I basically got the house because I said I would, you know, take care of it. And yeah, so use that to your advantage if you're looking for a new property. Landlords really seem to like that if you say that you will maintain the property and, you know, keep the weeds down and make it look nice. So when I moved into this place, it was a big challenge because now what they had was they've got raised beds all around the back and kind of sides of the house, and that was all covered in weed mats. And I don't know if you are familiar with weed mats, that usually means that they've got weeds growing on top of them, ironically, if you don't maintain them. So what I had to do is I had to pull out meters and meters of weed mat and clear all the weeds and find that it's all got clay soil on these garden beds. So what I did is I researched Charles Dowding on YouTube, and I've watched so many of his videos, and he's my favorite YouTuber now. And his method is so great because he follows a no-dig gardening system, which is really perfect if you have lots of weeds and you have clay soil, because the whole purpose or the whole sort of methodology of his practice is to put down a layer of cardboard, which is perfect because I had so much from moving house. You put down wet cardboard and then you put your compost on top. And I needed a lot of compost, and I've ordered so many bags from Zudu, who they have really great compost made from the manure of zoo animals. So if you're ever wanting to support, small business, and they support children's mental health as well, then you should definitely invest in them if they've got the stocks. I know they've been a bit low lately. Bought so many bags of Zudu and just started building them up on top of that cardboard and, just that cardboard layer, and then starting to grow things in there. So yeah, I've grown everything from tomatoes to cucumbers to dahlias, sunflowers, just everything. I've just bought all of my seeds from King Seeds, and I've got like at least 100 varieties of seeds right now. And I follow Gardening by the Moon as well, so I've just that's a big topic for another day. If I'm allowed to speak on it in future. I have so much space now to grow anything and everything that I like. So yeah, I don't think my landlord has really seen the garden because it is at the back of the house, and he usually just comes into the house, has a look around, kind of can see into the front yard a little bit, and yeah, he's happy with that. I have all of my like old raised beds and a couple of other ones that I've built at this property because I had some leftover wood. So I've been reusing that. But yeah, my landlord has been really happy so far with how I kind of maintain the property and how I've kind of like built my movable raised beds on top of that. So definitely recommend if you are, I don't know, even if you're flatting with other people, just talk about whether you can build raised beds on that, and just make sure that you can remove it or you hire a moving truck to help do that for you. Just make sure you've got kind of like that exit plan, and you talk to your landlord about how you're not going to mess up their precious lawn. One thing I will say about the types of plants that I grow is I usually grow a lot of annuals. And I grow everything I can from seed because it's just a lot cheaper. And I know from, you know, the other places that I've lived, when I've really started to get into gardening, sometimes I only have a year there. So if I've just gone so hardcore on, you know, the summer gardening and the spring gardening rush, that, you know, I might actually have to move house at any point. And that did happen in 20, I think it was, yeah, 2019 or 2020, I had these lovely poppies coming up, and I had to move on the day that they actually started flowering. So it was really sad. So yeah, try and do it cheaply as well, because if you go out and you buy all of these like lemon trees and I don't know, fruit trees, and you think you're going to be there for a while, it might not actually work out, and you have to dig everything up, and if you don't dig everything up, then you know, you're just wasting all this money. So if you're thinking of starting out, just try and grow things like lettuce seeds and things that don't really survive more than one season, and then yeah, if you have to move, it won't be as sad, and you'll have enough, you know, plants that you can move in your planter boxes if you decide to do that. But in saying that, I have started growing things like dahlias from seed and other perennial plants, and some of those you can take with you, like if you wanted to dig up the bulbs. Yeah, bulb plants are really awesome for that. You can move those quite easily. But yeah, I'm also happy to leave some of them as well. But, you know, still would be sad if I have to keep a lot of these plants if they were really expensive. And the one thing that I'll talk about is composting. So I did mention that I have my tiger worms. So I split them up a little bit. So I've still got the original tiger worm kind of compost bin that I revamped a little bit. And then I halved the worms and started a new colony of them in and like an on-ground open sort of bin. So I got like a plastic storage bin, like a really small like cube one from Bunnings, and just drilled some holes in it, and I just put that directly on top of the garden bed, and have been putting the worms in there and putting the food scraps, and they actually do so much better than the one that has like a bottom where you collect the worm tea. And yeah, the worms stay there and they come back and they multiply, and they're just a lot happier there. And sorry, I kind of segued off there. I was getting really passionate about the tiger worms again. But so to my compost bin, I built a compost bin out of some like old, like really, really scrappy pieces of wood from some big pallets that my husband got from some big machine that he bought. And yeah, just kind of like drilled some nails into it really hastily. But yeah, I've got this little compost bin in the backyard now, which is new for me, and have been doing that for about a year. And my landlord hasn't really seen it. It is a bit messy, but the main thing is that he doesn't have to come over and collect as much garden waste as he did before. So he's kind of, I guess, saving a bit of money with that, and he doesn't have to come around here as much, so he's happy. Yeah, so if you can have that discussion with your landlord, I would definitely, if you have the space as well, like if you have a big backyard and you keep it from not going so smelly, yeah, I would really recommend starting a compost bin. It has been really awesome, and I actually got to harvest a good amount of compost the other day and put it on the garden. So yeah, it's really nice, and I get to compost more of my garden waste than I did previously, so that has been really nice. And one last thing is that I also signed up to Share Waste. So since my worms actually eat a lot of the food scraps that I have, I don't have enough of it to generate enough nitrogen in the garden, so I signed up to Share Waste in hopes that someone would give me more of their nitrogen-rich food scraps, and one neighbor did. So now every week I get like half a bucket full of compost, and I put that into my compost bin, and yeah, it's really improved my compost. So if anyone in Ellerslie happens to not have the space, or I don't know, if you are a renter and you don't have the space and you're envious of my compost bin, then yeah, look up Share Waste and look for someone in your area, like the person who's giving me compost, they don't have the space and they say that they rent as well. So yeah, if you're conscious about that, then definitely sign up and find someone to take your food scraps for you. Okay, that's all I will talk for on renting as a gardener. Thank you so much again, DIY Plant Man, for letting me ramble on for probably way too long about my own garden. But yeah, if any of you listening have any questions, you can reach out to DIY Plant Man, or you can reach out to me on Instagram at Jenny Libbings. yeah, thank you so much, and hopefully have more conversations with you all about being a renter and a gardener. See ya.
Wow, thanks so much, Libby, for doing this. That's amazing. I really hope you listeners enjoyed that and could enjoy hearing somebody else's voice for once. There were some awesome things that Libby mentioned in this podcast episode, and a couple of things that stood out to me were the resources that she shared, and one of them was the tipping point, I believe it was, where you can repurpose some stuff that's going to the landfill. That's an awesome way to utilize waste and get probably free products. Also, I like the Zoodoo one she made with the poo from the animals at the zoo. That's a really cool resource as well, and I actually know quite a few people who use that. I'm not exactly sure pricing-wise how much that is, but I'm assuming it's cheaper than if you go to Mitre 10 or Bunnings to get compost or sheep pellets or whatever. And another one that it was awesome that she mentioned was Share Waste. I've never heard of that myself, but it sounds like a great way to get to know people around you who are doing like-minded things, and also to either give or receive extra if you need, which is really cool, or give it away if you do have extra. So thanks so much for sharing that valuable information, Libby. In summary, I just want to kind of recap what Libby was talking about, and I saw 3 points in there that really stood out to me. As a renter, you want to use movable structures. As she said, she uses raised beds that she puts on stilts or on legs, and I have made these before, which I probably will share back again on my Instagram, just so you guys can kind of see if you can't picture what she's talking about. So yeah, make them movable, so when you do move, you can actually take them with you. Use pots or smaller movable objects rather than doing it in a raised bed in the ground. The cool thing about this day and age though is we have a lot of products available to us, and depending how much you're willing to spend, if you want to do it on the cheap, then obviously go to those places that Libby talked about, get that free wood, or get wood from friends or whatever, or use pellets. But then you can get a bit more bougie and you can buy bits from Mitre 10, Bunnings, all those garden centers. You can buy things like the Tui Oasis, which is like a raised bed, and it also has a trellis structure on the back, so it's quite nice. And then you have things like veggie pods as well. I've seen them become more and more popular these days, but they are expensive. So, I mean, if you're just trying to get into gardening and you're not willing to spend a lot of money, then maybe steer away from that one for now. But yeah, there's a lot of different options there, which is really awesome. And then one other thing that I was actually thinking would be hanging baskets as well. So that was the first thing that I wanted to point out that Libby was talking about. The second thing that Libby was talking about was choosing your plants wisely. So as she said, sometimes when you're renting, it's very unpredictable when you're going to get moved on, or when you feel like it's the right time to move somewhere else, or something pops up. Now, she said use annual plants, grow annuals. So annual plants are ones that usually only stick around for a year. Well, they will stick around for a season. Things like tomatoes, of flowers like alyssum, marigolds, obviously lettuce, which Libby talked about. Yeah, most veggies are annuals. Herbs are annuals as well, but they can last longer, so I wouldn't have any problem with you guys planting a whole bunch of herbs. Looking into the longer term plants like berries and trees and stuff like that, if you go for those, then when you move, it will be a lot harder to take those with you. Because I have such a small space, I actually do grow trees in my place, but I grow them in grow bags. Now, I don't think they grow as well as growing them in the ground. So if you do want to grow trees or berries, then you can grow them in grow bags as well, which is a movable structure once again. Now, the last thing that I wanted to mention that she talked about was, if you guys kind of noticed from her story, it seemed like she got more and more confidence with her landlords as she moved from house to house. So at the start, she was just kind of, not really into gardening, and then she kind of started getting into it. And then by the end, she was negotiating with her last landlord, which is awesome. And as she said, that's why she got the house. So yeah, guys, use that to your advantage. Just ask questions to your landlords. Don't be shy and try and negotiate. I guess the last thing I want to say is some of you guys, as renters, would already have structures in the property that have been there since you moved in. That's awesome, and I would utilize those if you can. You might have to amend it and stuff like that, but you don't have to go crazy with spending money on soil amendments and soil itself. You can buy cheaper stuff, but you might not have the best results. However, over time, what I like to do is use the material that I have. For example, I grew corn recently, and now what I'm doing is, now the corn has the stalks still left in my planter box, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to chop it at the base, and I'm going to chop it up into very fine pieces, and I'm going to use that on the top of my soil. This will help the warmth stay in the soil in winter, and over time it will break down as well and create a better soil, and for me that costs nothing at all. So utilize what you've got, use a lot of mulch and free products that you can get. Autumn is just around the corner, guys, so collect those leaves. So once again, guys, thank you for listening, and a massive thank you to Libby. As she said, you can find her on Instagram, and I will be posting on my Instagram and I'll tag her in that post. Please keep an eye out for that. And if you'd like to ask her any questions or see photos of what she's talking about, then go follow her over on Instagram at Jenny Livings with double B. Thank you guys. I will catch you guys next time. If you guys have any suggestions for another podcast episode, please get in touch with me. And if you would like to be a guest on my show as well and kind of do what I've done in this episode, then also get in touch with me and I would love to make something happen. Thanks for listening, guys. See ya.